When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, it is noon. It is Friday, and we are joined by a super friend of the show. He is Brian Anderson, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. BA, how are you? How's the weather in Florida?
Hi, Brian.
You know what? The weather is really good. I was talking to Danny before we came on the air, and look, I know that we talked about this last week. The winter back home for you guys has been, I mean, the worst I've heard in 20, 25 years. I mean, it's been brutal. And down here, it's funny because we have had a very cold winter, too. Obviously, not anywhere near what you guys have gone through. But that weather that would clip you would end up down here. And yesterday, I can remember – well, hold on a second, guys.
Uh-oh. You all right?
Yeah. Somebody already just jumped in my head. Maybe I'm hearing voices. Anyway, yesterday was the first warm day that I can remember down here in a long time. So hopefully that means that the weather is clearing for you up there. I did talk to my parents yesterday, and my mom told me that she saw grass. And I think that's a very good sign.
We were just talking about that today.
I said that earlier.
Wait, hey, BA, were you listening to us and then starting to hear somebody else's conversation?
You know what? No.
Oh, okay.
So I was when I got out to walking out to my car to change AirPods because my other AirPods are whatever for the gym only.
Right.
So I was walking out to get the new AirPods on, and for whatever reason, maybe I've got thin shorts on, but the other AirPods would trigger something on YouTube TV. So I heard some guy talking about Cavs trades. I don't know.
Oh,
I'd rather talk to you guys.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're the same because I was going to ask you if you start. This is a big ethical question, not that it matters or not, but if you were talking to someone on your cell phone and suddenly you heard two other people's conversations, would you listen in?
You know what? For a bit, just out of the curiosity factor, if
yes.
It took a turn, I would be ejecting quickly. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't need to. I've got enough going on, okay? This is like that scene out of Wedding Crashers. You know, when I get back to see Dr. Finkelstein, I can tell him, you know, we can forget about mom for a while. I got a whole new bag of issues. So I don't need that. I don't need that.
What's it like as a player at this time of the year when you know you're a couple of weeks away from having your life completely occupied for the next 8 months? Is it good? Is it bad? You look forward to it? Do you dread it?
No, you do not dread it because as a player, you are trained to be a player, and that's what you want to do. And so the season ends, and for all but one team, it ends poorly. And so you take some time off to decompress, but then you immediately get into off-season workouts. And obviously with the strength and conditioning and the way that it has been developed over time, these guys go into the offseason with a very specific plan on how to get themselves ready for the following season. And so that's what you do. It's like the modern-day gladiator. That's what you do. You play. You want to play. You can't wait to play. You understand that every day is going to be occupied, hopefully, for the next 9 months. And that means you play all the way till the end of October. But that's what you signed up for, and that's what you want to do. So you're anticipating now. I will say this, those off-season workouts, you get to this part of the season, this part of the off-season, I should say, you want to make sure that you're where you're supposed to be. You want to feel good about where you're out 2 weeks out, where you're at 2 weeks out. You know, you want to feel good about if you've gotten off the mound already as a pitcher, that things feel good and you can hit the ground running when camp starts. As a hitter, all of the different things that you worked on in the offseason, you want to feel good about that progress that you've made, you know, a couple of weeks before you show up and start doing it for real. So that's the only it's kind of like a little measuring stick. You want to feel good about where you're at now. That gives you the confidence that, hey, you know what? I still got a couple of weeks to refine some things. And then when spring training opens up, boom, off I go, because it'll be over before you know it and the games will start counting.
It's just weird. I don't know if I've ever – Tampa and Cleveland can kind of feel this the same too, but I feel like there's been consistency is a huge thing. Like, I don't – Jeff and I were talking about this before we got on the air today. Like, I don't know how to feel about the Guardians going into this season, because I felt like they overachieved, especially early on in the year. And you're like, there's no way they can keep this up, right? There's no way. And then all of a sudden you get a great bullpen that can keep things together. But bullpens, and you know this better than anybody else, bullpens are unbelievably fickle. And one year they could be like the greatest bullpen ever. And the next year you're like, wait a minute, is that the same thing I just saw last year? So I'm just... You know, yeah. And when it comes to the Guardians, like, I just don't know what to expect. And maybe that's a good thing, because last year I didn't know what to expect, and I felt great about things while the regular season was going on. And so I guess maybe the question is more about setting up expectations for the Guardians this year and just kind of how to approach it from where they are right now, where the manager is going to be in his second year.
Well, I think that the expectations are high. I do. I think that this is a team that maybe you felt like they overachieved. Like, we talked about this last season. I can remember referencing the 2008 Rays. Mm-hmm. Now, those 2008 Rays, those players, that coaching staff, that organization at that moment in time did not feel like they were overachieving. They're like, this is what we built this team for. We knew we could do this. Now, the rest of baseball may not have taken us seriously, because they're thinking Yankees, Red Sox, because that's all it was back then.
Right.
But we feel like we're not overachieving. I guarantee you, this Guardian team, and if these kids go back to camp, they're not thinking to themselves, wow, did we pull one over last year? Wow, we played so far out over our skis and fooled everybody, and we got, no. They feel like that's who we are. And guess what? We think we're going to be better this year. That's the mind of an athlete, or at least it should be. And that's what these guys are thinking going in. So I think the fans should have every bit the expectations that these players have. The only difference is, and you referenced Tampa, the organizations are very similar in how they're run, how they're built, what they put their emphasis and importance on. They just don't allow themselves much margin for error. You just can't have too many things go wrong, because it's difficult to fill those holes, and you don't have a lot of times, maybe you do have the resources to go out and make some tough trades, but you don't want to give up those resources, and you certainly aren't going to go out there and just start dropping big dollars on guys. So the margin for error is maybe smaller than some other teams, but that's why, and I think Cleveland does a great job of it. I know Tampa does a wonderful job of it, is they build depth. They build depth around the edges with players that may have flown under the radar, players that they think that they can develop a little bit more than they have been already. They are able to eyeball and come across some skill sets that these guys have that they think are being underutilized. And so that's what you have to do, and that's what allows you maybe a little bit more of margin for error, is building quality depth. And so that's very, very important to those teams that aren't going to have the biggest payrolls in the world. They're going to need a very strong 40-man roster. And I think Cleveland and Tampa Bay do a really good job of building that. So if there is an issue, they've got a guy that can step in, and there's not going to be much drop off, if any, at all.
With that thought in mind, you look at the pitchers going to camp with the Guardians, and they've got a lot of guys, and they're auditioning for some spots in the rotation. If a young guy goes to camp thinking he has a chance to be a starter, BA, and it doesn't work, would he rather end up being put in the bullpen, or would he rather be sent down to AAA to be a starter and be one phone call away?
Everybody wants to stick with the big club,
okay.
Period.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah, everybody wants to stick with the big club. And if I have to go to the bullpen and bide my time, so be it. And by the way, the way that the starters are used nowadays, it wouldn't take the team too long to ramp me back up to 5 innings, because that's all they're going to ask me to go anyway, for the most part. So if it comes down to it, you just want to be a part of the big league team. Now, if you're not, now it's the manager's job, when he calls you in to tell you he is going to AAA, that it's all about continuing your development. We need to keep you stretched out. We know we're going to use you at some point this season. Stay ready. All of those things that they have to sell to these players whose hearts are, sports hearts are broken, getting sent back to AAA, especially if it's late in camp. The easy answer is you go to camp with the idea of, I am going to break camp, and I'm going to be on that 26-man roster and try to help this team go out and win a division championship.
We've been talking a little bit about the Browns. We know you love your Browns. What do you want them to do as they search out what they're going to do in the draft? As you think about it, is it Browns trade number 2? Do they pick a quarterback? Do they pick a position player? What's going through your mind on that?
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. That is so far above my pay grade.
No, it's not. You've hosted Browns post game or Browns television shows before.
Yeah.
You know what you want. Do you feel settled in at quarterback for the Browns? No. No one does. So
one second. Let's remind everybody that yes, that is true. I did host that show.
Yes.
And also it's true that show lasted one season.
Doesn't matter.
That's all you need to know.
Doesn't matter.
It was canceled quickly. I understand completely. What's this idiot pitcher talking about football for? My good God almighty.
Anyway. It's because you drank waters out of the mighty Mahogany, I almost said it, out of the mighty Cuyahoga.
Yeah, well, that I did. I did, yes. A couple of different times. Anyway, I really don't know. I don't know what I want them to do. It's one thing if you had one of those quarterback classes that everybody was raving over and you couldn't go wrong with the top 3 or 4, one of those things, then you're obviously leaning, maybe they go that route. I want them to do? Here's what I want them to do. I want them to do whatever is necessary to make sure that Myles Garrett continues and ends and finishes his career as a Cleveland Brown. Because you get the feeling that if it starts to go sideways, the big guy may want to move somewhere where he can make a deep playoff run. So whatever you have to do to keep that guy around, then you're on the right path.
There you go.
What about Nick Chubb?
Oh, I
this is a very difficult conversation. We had it this morning.
It is.
We had to sit down with the kids and talk about it. I'm just telling you.
I mean, is this Bernie at the end? Is it? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. You don't know. I mean, do I think that I saw enough? I shouldn't say enough. I saw some things last year. There was a burst. There was a lateral juke and hit a whole heart. There were some things that reminded of you when he was completely healthy. So will another year away, and by the way, another year of less wear and tear, will that allow him to regain that?
Only the people in that building are going to know, when they're training, and what does it look like compared to previously. But the nature, because you would love. I mean, you'd love to have him.
Hey, BA, it sounds like you just walked into Charlie Brown's class. Something just happened with your...
You've got a podcast. Oprah Winfrey throwing out podcasts all over the place. He just goes out and plays football. And when he scores a touchdown, here you go. Here, hold on to this. I'll be back to you a little bit later.
I think BA just jumped into a submarine.
What are you doing? BA, are you there or not? Did we lose him or no?
Oh, no, he's going.
Is he still talking? Can't hear us?
He's on a roll.
You think he's rolling? I heard something about Oprah Winfrey.
Well, quiet. Listen.
Wonderful, beautiful help.
Still
by
going.
The way, I get an argument.
He has no idea.
See you, B.A.
B.A., we love you. I don't know if you can hear us or not, but it sounded like he jumped from Bluetooth to Bluetooth.
Well, he went into a submarine.
Is that what happened?
That's exactly what
happened. Then again, you want to try to digress?
He's down by the Gulf.
There. I thought this was an interesting story that, I don't know, I was just rolling along and I caught this story. It has to do with the Ivy League. So the Ivy League has just kind of been...
We've read about the Ivy League.
Yeah, that's what we hear about.
Never actually been invited to participate.
But I think we worked with a guy from one of the Ivy League schools once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Poobah was an Ivy Leaguer.
Well, of course he was.
The Poobah. All right, so the Ivy League, first of all, which probably doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but... They're finally going to join the FCS playoffs in football. Like, we always talk about them in basketball, right? Like, it's like, oh, look, Harvard upset somebody in the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament. I've always been like, why do they let their basketball teams play in the NCAA basketball tournament, but they never let their football teams play in the FCS playoffs or the old 1AA playoffs, too? So, after 80 years, the Ivy Leagues have finally decided to join the, 20th century, not 21st, and they're going to let their teams now play in the FCS playoffs. Congratulations to them. Good deal for them.
Okay.
So that means you may see Youngstown State play Harvard, right? That's how that works out.
Okay.
All right, but that's not the real question. The real thing, and Dan and I were trying to look up a little bit more on this too, is that they're opting out of the NIL stuff. And the Ivy League just really doesn't want...
How do you opt out of an NIL? You just don't bother.
All right, let's get the legits on this one before we start going around.
Okay, clean it up.
Here's what's happening. And this is courtesy of the Yale Daily News.
Oh, man, we are all smarter.
That's where we're going,
man. We're like reading the Yale Daily Paper.
We go right down, which, by the way, the student who wrote this piece did a heck of a job. And I would hire her immediately because this is really well worded.
Huh.
You know, we've come a long way, Jeff, from, like, I used to read the Daily Kent Stater every day, and the problem was they used this really cheap ink. Do you remember that? And it would get all over everything. Do you remember that?
No, they didn't do that when I was in school.
Absolutely. We were there around the same time, Jeff. It wasn't too far.
No, Andy, I was long gone before you showed up.
You never read the Stater while you were there?
Yeah, but we had better ink.
Oh, excuse me. They downgraded the ink when I got there.
They did have better ink. That was never an issue for me.
I thought they just had town criers when you were there.
What is
it? I thought he just had town criers. I thought it was this.
Today, out on the mall. Come hear a concert.
Just someone with a bell ringing it and yelling.
And we show up.
Hear ye, hear ye. Chicken pot pie. Ooh. In the dining hall.
I've got a story about
it. Never liked either one of you.
Anyway. Nah, I can't tell my story. Keep going. It's bad. I'll get it.
Right, so, So, back to what really matters from the Yale Daily News.
Yes.
So, what has happened is that the Ivy Leagues in this settlement, it's a $2.8 billion settlement between the NCAA and the five power conference that will allow universities to pay their student athletes directly, as in school pays athlete, not collective pays athlete, school pays athlete, right? What's happening is
non-NIL? We're talking about the non-NIL money, right? School pays athlete.
Correct.
Okay.
Call it school pays athlete because it's still considered NIL and trying to confuse. Sure we'll just all walk out confused. So just call it school pays athlete.
Okay.
So in school pays athlete, the Ivy Leagues have opted out and have said, we are not doing this. We are not taking the money that we are getting and directly paying athletes. We still believe in the concept of the student athlete, quote unquote, aka what you have been watching of late. They have not outlawed the idea of collective pays athlete or athlete comes out and goes to local donut shop and gets deal off of local donut shop. They have not gotten rid of any of those kind of things, but they are not going to participate in school pays athlete.
So let's say
hold on a second.
Student from Harvard wants to sell apples. Quarterback from Harvard wants to work for a grocery store on top of that. He goes, hey, how about them apples? And then so he's selling it for a grocery store in Boston, right? You can do that? Okay, all right.
Yeah, that would be 100% allowed.
Yes. Okay, all right.
Yes, from what is being said.
So in other words, the Ivy League is going to go ahead and tell the student athletes, hey, you're getting an Ivy League education. Congratulations. Done. We're offering something more money, more even more valuable than money. One of the best educations you can find.
Yes.
God bless him.
And so this is a quote directly from Robin Harris, the Ivy League executive director. This decision to not opt in means the Ivy League and its schools will continue to provide an educational intercollegiate athletics model that is focused on academic primacy and the overall student athlete experience.
There you go. In other words, what college was supposed to be before it went down the sewer. And I don't even just mean
disagree on the sewer.
I don't even mean just lately. I mean over the course of time.
So
you're supposed to go to school, and you know, if you're lucky enough to get a scholarship, congratulations. Play.
I don't.
And before school started making ungodly amounts of money on student athletes, because the student athletes certainly deserve their share. But the Ivy League doesn't make gobs and gobs and gobs of money on student athletes.
Well, the other thing too is it's not like Ivy Leagues don't hand out athletic scholarships either.
Correct.
So, you know, they offer need-based financial aid. That's how they do it there.
And
so,
some academic, if you're a whiz, right?
Yeah, they're the only Division I athletic conference that does not allow member schools to take athletic scholarships.
You know why? Because they have something to offer that's very valuable.
But I'm sure if
Ivy League education.
If you're an athlete that wants to go to one of these Ivy League schools and you want to continue your athletics, I'm sure they probably find some sort of financial aid package for you, right? If that's,
I'm not going to interpret their ways.
Well, they can. The opportunity is there for
okay.
them, right?
Great.
So I just think but the bigger question on this is this what college athletics is supposed to be? Is this what it's supposed to be?
Well, like, it was at one point, maybe. You know, indie schools have been paying athletes for decades. You could say it's been a problem. I don't think it's been a problem. It's just been a way of life. They've been paying them for decades. And Ivy League doesn't apparently do that. Okay, great. They truly have something to offer that's a fabulous thing, an Ivy League education. So good for them. I don't have any qualms with this. And they don't have to play the game anybody else's way. They can play it their way. And every conference can follow suit and do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all open to the way you want to do it. And they're choosing to continue to make an Ivy League education and the academic portion of their school the top priority here, rather than, hey, we want the best offensive tackle we can buy. That's okay. It works for them, certainly.
So basically what they're saying, and tell me if I'm wrong, they're just accepting the fact that they know from a sports standpoint, they'll take the competitive disadvantage and just own it. That we're good with it. We don't want to be a part of this,
yeah.
And this is what we are.
Yeah, we don't want to compete for national championships.
Well, no, they do, but they don't want to do it at the same expense. They do, but they don't want to do it at the same expense that other schools are.
All right, well, then good luck to them.
Then they're not going
to
pay, but that's not saying that.
Good luck to them.
But all it takes is five hot players in an NCAA basketball tournament.
Well, that's a fact.
With five guys that aren't getting NIL money.
Jack.
Right? That could win an NCAA basketball tournament. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
No.
But they've decided we're going to compete with schools that decide they want to pay their players. That's all.
Basketball is the great sport for that. Basketball is just the great sport for that.
It just takes five guys.
Hey, ask David Robinson how it was at the Naval Academy. Think they should have competed? They're at the Naval Academy. You're not even allowed to go there if you're over 6'6". David just grew.
Did he grow while he was there?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is this a trend, though? Is this something that
it's not a trend.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I think that this could be a trend, and this is what I think it's going to happen. That we just end up with 30 schools that end up deciding that
being
they want to.
Super conference?
Yes, and that's the end of it.
Andy? I think that's a great idea. You and I have talked about that for years. Just make the super conference, and we've even talked about relegation. Remember?
Yeah.
You know,
if you want to be a school that can be in that super conference, and want, you know, like Boise State to me is the prime example of that. There were a school that was on the outside, and I was just reading another story about how the way things are set up now that it's even more difficult for a school like Boise State to jump through and get into the upper echelon of. Playing in gigantic games, right? Like even that's going to get harder. I think we're at the point now where you take the biggest schools, you let them be their own professional leagues and feeder systems for something somewhere down the road and call it a day. just call it a day. And if you want to go watch Kent or Akron or any Mid-American Conference school, you know, for guys that are trying to make it to the next level of college football, because that's where we are right now. It's not like, you know, if you can be a standout at, the Kazmir kid was at the tight end for Ohio State that was at Ohio University that then transferred to Ohio State. So you take somebody like that where they use Mid-American Conference play as a jumping off point to try to get into the Big Ten, something like that. That's what I'm saying.
Like the quarterback at Indiana.
Yeah. All of those
things. What's wrong
with that? Nothing. And I just think that that...
There are a lot of different avenues in the Ivy League. I mean, when you think of the Ivy League, you don't think of athletics. You think of academics, and they're just going to keep it that way. And that's great. That's great for them. You know, you could see some other schools maybe following suit. You know, Rice is a great academic institution.
But they want to play with the big boys
Stanford,
in football, don't they?
Well, they might want to, but... How's that worked out for them?
Well, if with $20 million to be able to pay some of these guys, they can maybe have a chance to get up there.
Yeah, or they could take that $20 million and split it up among how many incredible professors and keep their academic standard very high. Or
I don't
know. Or they could just keep bringing in all kinds of cash and do it all, whatever they want to do.
You would know the Rice situation better than I do. I don't.
Hey, Rice's former head coach is now the Browns offensive line coach.
There you have it. Add a little Rice. Like, you're always in good shape. You knew there was a Rice joke coming there at some point. It wasn't going to be...
Jerry's eating Rice.
Oh. Anyway. All right. So I don't know if that's the future of college athletics. Do you think...
I think it's the past of college athletics, and Ivy League has decided to hang on to it.
But does this give school and other schools the opportunity to say, you know what, let's be like the Ivies?
Nope.
Let's just jump out of this.
Nope. The only thing that it makes me think is possible, maybe a slight push toward what you talked about.
The super conference.
It's like, hey, we wanna be pro sports. And so we're just gonna flat out be pro sports. And you guys can go compete for your championships and other things, but we're gonna go ahead and run a $37 million deficit so
that
we can win a national title.
Yeah, is that what college athletics looks like in 5 years, 5 to 10 years? What does it look like?
I don't know.
What do you think, Dan? What's it look like? 5 to 10 years. Super conference only. I think that's it. They're
you
the ones
so?
That are, yeah, I just,
only
I feel
football
like.
Football or every sport?
Probably football, but I still think at some point they're going to be like, man, you know, Rutgers running out to play Oregon and for basketball or playing, you know, and then playing Washington for a game and then coming all the way back to the East Coast. Like, I just, at some point, I think that that's going to end. I just think that, you know, this long distance travel the way, I mean, the professional leagues don't even do it that way, right? I mean, you kind of figure it out and then you do a trip and then you come back and you kind of play in your region for a while. I don't know.
To believe that UCLA has to travel to Penn State for a conference game.
That Wisconsin in volleyball. Beach volleyball team is going to be unbelievable.
Is there a beach there?
Yes.
Darn right. Sheboygan,
right there.
The Malibu of the Midwest.
You kidding?
No, that's right.
Next to Whispering Straits.
Right? No, honestly, I think 5-10 years, we're right where we are right now.
You think we're exactly in the same place?
Because everybody
as soon
forgot.
As these TV, once these TV contracts end, and then, by the way, what if that TV money isn't there 5 years from now?
But everybody forgot that it took us 100 years to get here.
Boy, that's a valid
this
point.
This stuff moves slow, and especially if people don't like it and they don't like the change that's coming, and not to mention you're getting a lot of presidents and vice presidents who are not getting as much money into their pockets. They're just going to make this only move slower. So I think in 5 to 10 years, we're exactly where we are right now. Now, where will we be in 25 to 30 years? That might be a different question. But the 5 to 10 years, we're right where we are right now. So we'll see where this all ends up. But I think it's fascinating that the Ivies are going to do it, because I wonder if it kind of does what you guys are saying of A, the super conference, but more than anything, offers up a group of people who are going to come in and go, let's build... I don't want to call it a minor league to major college football, because that's the worst possible way you could word it, but it might be the best way to word it that people understand what I'm trying to say, which is like, let's build this second group that's right here. That's all of these schools that are going to all be about, okay, we want to push education. We like the student athlete model,
yeah.
And we're A-okay with the idea that you're going to go do furniture commercials, and we're A-okay with the idea that you're going to get paid for NCAA football and all of that kind of stuff, and almost use what Jeff you know, and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus when I say this, and please don't take it that way, how you thought NIL was going to work initially, which was the local car dealership was going to throw you $500 to sign.
Yeah, I was being naive and stupid. Right. Yeah.
Oh, did you just admit that? Because I argued with you about that for years, that it was going to be so much more than just that.
I was being naive and stupid and hopeful.
Right, and I
instead
think
it's become something that is out of control.
I think you're going to end up with this tier. That's what you're thinking. And then there's going to be the even bigger tier.
Well, I think that, and then there's another factor to this whole thing that we didn't even get into. Private equity looking into buying into college sports.
Good Lord.
That's right there. It's on the horizon.
Meanwhile,
Sam Amico is going to join us a little bit later in the show.
Mortgaging their homes, second mortgages to send kids to college.
Sam Amico will join us in a little bit. Talk Cavaliers, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I got to tell you, I've got a big hole this weekend outside of the times that I'm outside out and enjoying hockey that I don't know what I'm going to watch. Like, I'm still trying to figure out. There's no football. That big black hole
what
out
are you
there
telling
is
me?
A...
Hang on. What? Really?
Yeah. What are we going to watch? There's no football.
When's the Senior Bowl?
Like I said, there's no football to watch.
Tune on the NFL
Network.
Are
you going to watch it?
There will be reruns.
Are you in? Are you watching? How many people watch the Shrine Bowl? Because you caught some of that last night.
I flipped on the Shrine Bowl just to kind of see what was going on. And when I tuned it on, Jane Slater from the NFL Network was talking to Shedeur Sanders, who, by the way, came off is a delightful young guy, great personality and everything else. And you know how you can see the crowd behind? There was no crowd. And I kept looking. It's like, are there? And it made me wonder, and I don't know the answer. Do they sell tickets to this thing? Because there was nobody there. And then I watched a little bit of the action, and it was like 25-0 when I tuned in. And Jane Slater actually said to Shedeur, by the way, see, you actually are a nice young guy. Okay, great.
Did she really say that?
Yes. It was something along those lines. You're really a nice guy. And then they rolled a tease, and it was Deion. And she said, but, you know, you can't get away from Deion Sanders, and there he is. And I thought, wow, slightly awkward. But there seemed to be nobody in the stands. And then they showed their play of the game. I only watched like 10 minutes of this thing, tops. Their play of the game was a corner hitting a wide receiver when the pass came, and he dropped the ball.
So
I thought, wow, a lot of great action in this thing.
So for the East-West Shrine Bowl, tickets were $20, and you could spend up to $50.
Okay, well.
Did anybody?
I'm sure somebody did, Andy, but I can tell you, in the great big AT&T Stadium, in the cutaway shots that I saw and looking in the background, I did not see a human. I'm not kidding. I did not see a human in the stands. A lot of them on the field. I did not see any in the stands. I'm sure they were there somewhere.
Where, maybe they were all in suites?
Maybe they were in suites. Maybe they were in the upper deck. I don't know. All I'm telling you, in the very short period of time I watched, I did not see a human being in the stands.
Huh. Would you go watch if you were in Mobile? I think I would go watch. I wouldn't mind
in Mobile,
going to watch.
Now, that's a different deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, you know, a big event in Mobile, and the, you know, it's a big deal in Mobile. I'll bet you they have a nice crowd.
But I always seem to think back and go, there's like maybe three quarters filled. Not even half filled.
It's an exhibition game.
Tickets are going from $42 on that, by the way. If you were looking for seats. You want to hop down there real quick? We'll go check it out tomorrow.
I think I'm going to skip it.
Yeah, I just don't know. So it's weird because we've got a weekend with no professional football. I mean, other than, yeah, I mean, they're really, yeah, there's just,
don't worry, little cubby. The UFL will be starting soon.
It's kind of depressing, isn't it? What are you going to watch, Dan?
Oh, I'm watching Pebble Beach. You kidding me? We got the Pro-Am going. I mean, this is an elevated event on the PGA Tour. This is big boy golf. I am all in on this. This is what you sign up for. This is actually the perfect weekend to put this in because it's a great thing to watch. Pebble was pretty receptive yesterday. The wind is supposed to pick up, so hopefully we get some higher numbers than what we saw yesterday. But yeah, I mean, you got all the big name golfers playing on the PGA Tour. That's where my eyes will be.
There it is, Dan Menigan.
What celebrities are in this week? Do we know? I know it's a weird thing to ask because I know you're all in.
I don't care.
Ron Rivera.
I'm here for Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, no, this is from 2023. I can't even find.
I want to see Scottie. He shot pretty well. Sadly, Ludwig Hebert had to bow out because he's dealing with some illness. Rory had a hole-in-one yesterday.
Rory. Yeah.
Shane Lowry had a hole-in-one yesterday.
Shane.
I got Thomas. Celebrities. Whatever. I'm not here for it. I'm here to watch real golfers hit real golf shots.
Bill Murray out there this year or no?
You know the shame about the PGA Tour right now? Live and the PGA, that whole mess.
Yeah.
There's some really good young golf talent in the world right now. And because it's not Tiger and Phil, and Liv has taken some of the other guys away, it's not being noticed as much as it should be.
How does that change? How do they change that?
I don't know. Some really good young players. Well, probably merge the two somehow.
We're still at this point.
Get a group hug.
Even before that, though, I mean, we were still... Like, how do you make golf more exciting, more accessible outside of the Masters? Isn't that where
how do you make golf more exciting?
Yeah, I'm just saying outside of the majors
stand
and the Masters.
20
DJs
yards
and shorts.
In front of the tee.
Let's help golf, Jeff Phelps. Help golf get more viewers. Help me. I'm still mad at him. You know I'm still mad.
Oh, here we go. Oh, don't just stop. Why? Don't even start. It's not even worth it.
Not happy with him.
No. Nope. So.
Look, golf is what it is. It's always going to be a niche sport. It's always going to be something certain people are going to pay attention to. A lot of people are going to go, this is boring. You're just hitting and then walking. Like, there's always going to be that element.
If you like golf, you love watching golf on TV.
Right.
Yeah, I love Sunday.
End of story.
I love watching Sunday.
Right.
And I mean, I do.
You don't need to make it more entertaining. It kind of is what it is. There's no way to really fix it. The only thing I would throw out is if there supposedly is a shot clock in the PGA bylaw, that would be the only thing that I would throw back in is let's strictly enforce the shot clock. But outside of that, it's golf. It is what it is. You're not going to make golf more entertaining. It's not like this is going to be all of a sudden the reverse hand hole where all of a sudden you have to hit left-handed if you're right-handed on the fifth hole.
You know what's a great afternoon? if you have something to do, computer, sorting baseball cards, doing something.
Well, hang on. Okay, quick call. 216-474-009. How many of you are sorting baseball cards this weekend? Okay, go ahead. Sorry, go.
Can I finish my thought now? If you have something to do on the computer, sorting cards, your taxes, and you can...
Really recommending taxes?
Hold on.
Yeah. Honey, get those receipts.
Hold on. And you can sit there in front of the television with golf on for 4 hours.
Laundry.
Golf on for four hours while you're doing something else. And you're getting the serenity of golf with some great entertainment while you're getting something accomplished. That, my friend, is a day.
Honey, did we donate to cancer research? You have that receipt?
Do you have it? Oh, man. Is this a Topps 1984? What is that? Has anyone seen my Rico Cardi card? Has anyone seen that? I'm counting. Trying to figure out what to do here.
What I was talking about, smart guy, is something that
is that you, Fritz Peterson?
Where you have to be... No, it was Mike Kekich. If it's somebody where you have to be sitting and, you know, on the couch.
Do you have any Oscar gambles before he had to get his haircut with the Yankees?
I forgot Jay Bell was on the Diamondbacks.
Oh, yeah. Why did you go to card sorting? That must be something you do.
Because I spend a lot of time sorting baseball, football, basketball cards while watching golf.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to think of things to do.
Sorry that your mom threw all yours out.
Well, that's because I didn't organize them, and I put them in a shoebox, and the next thing you know, the shoebox is gone. Why do we need the shoebox? Thanks, Mom. We could have been billionaires by now.
Loser.
We could. I got to go sell some cards off. Pay off this car. Laundry's probably the best excuse, though, I think, if you want to sit and watch something. I think laundry is the way to go.
Are your washer and dryer in front of your TV?
No, but I can take 15 steps and go get the clothes out of the washer or dryer.
Then you're going to miss the best part of the day.
I do a pause on my TV if I have to go back.
We're in modern times.
You know, I haven't figured that out on the smart TV.
What? How to?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Really?
Yeah. When I got rid of the smart TV, or got a smart TV,
yeah,
and got rid of the old one, I lost the DVR capabilities. Mm. I'm sure there's something I can do. I just haven't done it yet.
Hmm.
We got to figure that out for you.
Thanks.
The best excuse, though?
There's a big old world out there.
How do you get around the old... Will you do something? Like, that's a great line at our house. Would you please just do something to help out the house? Please? And, like,
Sounds like an issue between you and the missus.
Well, it's... And the kids. But doing laundry and watching TV, I think, is okay. Like, I'm okay. You're still accomplishing something, right?
Well, Andy, that was my point.
Yes.
You decided, Jeff's cards,
I wasn't alone. Medigan jumped on that train immensely.
Take line one.
All right. Solomon.
Hello, Solomon.
Boy, I didn't realize I had this many Cleveland Indian Brian Anderson cards. I'll be damned.
Look at this. Solomon, what do you got for us?
Hey, you guys are just, man, my man Jeff, man, they're just horrible towards you, man.
Solomon, I work with these clowns.
And hopefully I can. Here's my question. Hopefully it can. I'm kind of on the side with Jeff with the whole golf thing. Listen, there's so many things in our world right now that's not super exciting.
Yes.
Does something have to be super exciting for it to be good?
No.
No.
As long as you can enjoy it.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm with you, Jeff.
Thank you, Solomon.
100%.
Okay.
I'm not a big golfer. I'm not a big golf watcher. But at the same time, when I do catch a game, because I'm a very busy guy, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad you guys
So you're finding something exciting to do. My question is, would you rather watch paint dry or sit and count cards, old baseball cards?
Or would you rather sell them off, Solomon, and make some money?
Oh. See, Jeff know how to talk the language. That's what I'm saying, man. Mr. Baskin,
yes.
Never, ever, ever, ever walk a day without Mr. Phelps.
Solomon, thank you.
Oh, that's why. Solomon, thank you. That's why the two greatest days of the week are Saturday and Sunday, because Jeff doesn't have to listen to me for 2 days, right? That's why. And you can sit around and count cards, and I'll do laundry. You can count cards, and we can figure out all this stuff. Let's get back to the Cavaliers. Obviously, they picked up a couple All-Stars in the last 24 hours, and they won last night. But it comes into question about the center and how good is the Cavaliers center right now, even compared to the rest of Cavaliers history. Sam Amico joins us in the 1 o'clock hour, too. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.